Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. We are talking April being Sexual Assault Awareness Month here today. And I've got two guests in studio. I have Stephanie Kilborn, Ascension Via Christi Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner, joining me. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
And I also have Melissa Mosher. She's the RCPD Victim Advocate Coordinator. Welcome.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
We are talking again Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And I think the first question that comes to my mind here is, you know, we talk about it a lot in the news, sexual violence. We hear stories about it happening all the time. But I don't know if the community knows just how prevalent sexual violence is in our community. So can you talk to that a little bit?
For the last, almost 2 years now, and just kind of watching the trends throughout the community, it appears 1 to 4 cases come in each month. And in that, you also have to remember sexual assault is one of the most underreported crimes. And we're talking, 68% is what's reported. A lot more prevalent than I knew when I first started out.
Yeah, and we typically hear that it's underreported, and there are a variety of reasons why that may be here. And Melissa, I know you work in the alongside RCPD, and you guys are trying to curb that trend right now, mm-hmm. as I understand.
Well, sexual assault is really a personal crime. It's something, it's much different than like a robbery. And so to have somebody come and report, they are sharing a bit of something that's very personal that's happened against them as a person. It is difficult to talk about when a trauma has happened. Then also there is kind of the misconception or the belief that maybe they're not going to be believed. There are still a lot of stereotypes about like what real rape should look like. And I think sometimes if a victim is unsure if they've given consent, have they not? We know just from statistics that most rapes will occur like with an acquaintance or even a former or current significant other. And so sometimes victims, I think, just aren't really sure, like, you know, was this a sexual assault? Was it not? And then to have that vulnerability to come in and be believed is sometimes, I think, something that keeps people away.
Hmm. Well, and it's interesting here. You mentioned who's committing these crimes mm-hmm. here. A lot of times it's somebody that you know, isn't it?
8 out of 10 cases happen to be an individual that the victim knows. So, yes.
I mean, and that can be an acquaintance. Again, it could be either your significant other at the time. It could be an ex-significant other, a family member. Yeah, it's definitely rape is not occurring with that stranger that we think is hiding in the darkness and covered with a mask. It is somebody that, you know, likely we know and we trust at some level.
And as far as that's concerned, here's often the perpetrator, when we hear their side of the story, it always seems like, they don't believe that a crime's been committed, maybe because they know them on that personal level. Is that fair to say?
They do. Consent is actually a very cut and dry, yes, I've given consent. But, you know, on the other side, I think that there are questions sometimes that individuals have. There are situations that can kind of contribute maybe a little bit to consent not necessarily being sure if it was obtained. One of those would be if there's alcohol that's been consumed. But also there is that relationship. If you have had a previous, sexual relationship with someone, it isn't an automatic guarantee that you're giving consent for it to occur now. And as well, when you know someone, you have a bit more of a familiarity, a bit more of a comfortability around a person. And, you know, oftentimes victims don't necessarily say no, but their body language, some of the actions that they're giving is actually not saying yes. And so I think it's very, very important that when sexual encounter is about to happen, that, you know, both sides are very conscious in step-by-step giving that consent so that it's very clear to both individuals that they want this to continue to happen.
All right. Again, we're speaking with Stephanie Kilborn and Melissa Mosier here. And I want to talk about each of your roles here in the community and how you work with victims of sexual violence. Stephanie, I'll start with you as the sexual assault nurse examiner at Ascension Via Christi.
Sure. So my role at Ascension Via Christi is if we have a survivor that comes through, whether you come in on your own seeking medical attention or if you have already spoke with a police and maybe they escorted you over, there's several different ways you could end up coming and speaking with me. I like to kind of think of it as the bridge. I want to help give you that closure going from that victim position into a survivor. And I work closely with the crisis center to help get resources after the examination and during the potential investigative portion of everything. I offer a collection of DNA samples as well as prophylactic treatment for any possible sexual transmitted infections. We can also talk about emergency contraceptives. There's really, my role really kind of flows even out beyond that. I like to reach out to my survivors and see how they're doing, make sure they don't have any questions or concerns, whether it be maybe they need more resources or maybe there are some health concerns that have come up since I've seen them. They also have the option to be seen by an emergency room physician regarding any possible injuries that may have been sustained. We offer photographic evidence as well.
And so pretty wide-ranging then.
Yes.
So you work with them from the beginning, from when they first come in, to seeing them on the road to the recovery.
Absolutely, yes.
And Melissa, I know we've spoke before here, but kind of refresh my memory on your role here with the police department.
Sure. So this is a new position at the Riley County Police Department. I'm the Victims Advocate Coordinator. And basically, my job is to offer emotional support as well as information and updates to victims while they're undergoing an investigation of some sort. I am particularly invested in our sexual assault victims. And so what that could look like is being able to explain the different options of investigation with victims, to be able to give them updates on their cases if an officer or a detective is still working, as well as connecting them to community resources that may be needed, in order to be able to aid in their healing process.
All right. Now, when somebody comes to the hospital, are you required then to notify law enforcement, or is that basically at the victim's saying?
That is definitely at the victim's saying. Whenever they come in, they have options. They don't have to have everything and, say, our sexual assault kit collected. If there's something that we typically do and they would rather not, whether we skip it, come back to it, or maybe they're just not ready for that part of the process yet, they have every right to go ahead and tell me no. As far as law enforcement, we give them the option of contacting law enforcement and they can go through the options that they have for an investigation, or they can do something called a non-reported or an anonymous kit, which goes straight to KBI. It is enclosed and sealed with a special number so that no one knows whose it is. And they have up to 5 years to go ahead and make an investigative claim with the police department.
I think that is one of the great things about our community and the different entities that we have that are supporting victims of sexual assault. We, as a community collaboration, really are here to support the victim and really to give the victim as much control and as much of a voice during this process as they can. So while RCPD does work with Via Christi, while we do work with our community-based programs like the Crisis Center and K-State Care Office, as well as even the Stepping Stones Child Advocacy Center, all of these, although we work together, we're working together to support a victim and to help them along the road so that they can take the next step forward in life. But each of these are very individual choices that they have. So if they go to the SANE to get a SANE examination at the hospital, and that's all that they're comfortable with at that time, that's okay. If they'd like to engage in clinical services with the crisis center or the care offices for K-State students, you know, that's definitely okay. If they're wanting to start an investigation, we also support that. And I think one of the things personally that I admire about each of the agencies is that the door is always left open. So just as Stephanie has said, maybe sometimes people aren't at the point where they're ready right now. But the door is open. So if tomorrow, if next week, if next month, even if next year, you're ready to revisit, to seek services, to continue on your healing journey, you know, services are available.
And I just want to add, along the lines of the independent operation, even if you come in and you are reporting that you were assaulted, you do not have to have an examination done by a SANE nurse. If you just want to come in and you are seeking that prophylactic medication for STIs, or you did sustain some sort of injury, you are welcome to just see an ER physician. You have the choice to kind of pick and choose which part of really the whole process you are ready to move forward with.
I think that really puts a lot of victims at ease here. You mentioned the control factor, because this is a crime where someone else is controlling you, and it really gives back the control to the victim.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more of our interview here with Stephanie Kilborn and Melissa Mosier. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.